Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
With my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
With my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come giving you thanks for another day and another time, Father, that we can get into your word to study your word and study together so that we all may grow thereby and make heaven our home. Now be with us, Father. If you're at the manger of the service this morning, then we're asking for the presence of thy Holy Spirit to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, has anyone got a testimony or something they'd like to share with us this morning? If so, let's have it. Everybody being awful quiet. All right.
God bless me. I got a job and I'm thankful for it. And I know He's always been there for me, you know, but you got the tithe. You know, it's one thing I've always done, and it's kept my tithes up, even though I've had some rough times here and there. God has always been there for me. But you got to put Him first, right? And He will always be there for you when you live for Him and you put Him first. That's what I got.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else? Testimony, anything you want to share? All right. If not, I've got something I'm going to share with you before we get into our scripture. I've got a story I want to share with you from a book that I get all the time. It has a lot to do with the way things are today in a lot of our churches. And the title of it is Darkened Lights. That's the name of the story. And the guy that wrote this took it from a couple of different places. One of them was Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But here's the story. Something that happened to him. And he shows that even though hard things have come against us, we can always get something good from them and turn them around. He says, as I drove north on Interstate 5 one night, my dash lights began to dim. And in a short while, they went completely out. Then to my horror, my headlights also went out. And I continued rolling down the interstate in complete darkness. Passing cars blared their horns as I strained to see the sidelines and desperately prayed for a solution. Pulling off at the first exit, I drove up to a truck stop. The fan belt had somehow slackened. Pardon me a moment. Change of weather. I really got that flame working this morning. All right, now. He says somehow it slackened. And with the alternator no longer working, my vehicle had been starved of electrical power. He goes on now. You know, that I imagine he wasn't too happy about the situation, especially on an interstate with no lights, and yet having to get far enough to where he could get some help. He goes on to tell us, he says, give us of your oil for our lamps are gone out, was the plea of the five foolish virgins as the bridegroom approached. Jesus told his disciples, ye are the light of the world. Matthew 5, verse 14. As with any illumination, our light also needs a continuous input of the power to sustain it. The psalmist wrote, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Just as the failing alternator caused my vehicle lights to be starved of electrical power, so failing to continually feed on the word of God will starve us of the power to live a life of victory that glorifies our Heavenly Father. What a lesson he's learning from a hardship that he had faced. Haphazard Bible teaching will result in a dim light that may soothe our conscience, but will give very little power. Instead, we need to heed the instruction, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Find that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And then the input of God's marvelous power will yield a beautiful light from within us that truly glorifies him. May we all be able to honestly testify, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalms 27:1. there was a man that was having some bad difficulty, could have been involved in an accident or anything because of what was going on, but yet he got something good from it. And you know, this is what we all need to be doing, is getting good things from bad things that happen to us in our lives. And as me and Kenny were talking a few minutes earlier with the situation with my wife, I don't worry about her anymore. Do I miss her? Yes. But she's in God's hands. I put her there. I visit her every day. I see her every day. I don't get to see her long. They only give me 30 minutes visiting time. But I'm there that 30 minutes. I know her with all, have prayer with her, and she's in his hands. And I know he is taking care of her. And things will be his way. Not mine, but his. All right. We're going to be in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John. Just kind of continuing on from where we started out with John. Because we are finding a lot of things along this part of John that's going on today around us. So beginning here with verse 1, it says, "These things have I spoken to you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet not many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and you shall not see me. And again a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, What is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye know, and ye now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name? Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken unto you in parables, in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. And his disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, it is now come, that you shall be scattered every man to his own and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit speak to you and I through this word. God's will, God's way for each and every one of us. And we ask this once again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This change of weather don't do me any good. But the Lord will get me through it. Now, as we back up here, Jesus is actually talking to his disciples here. But he's also talking to you and I. Because the same situation carries forward from the things they face to the things we're going to be facing in our day and time. Most of us is going to see the day that preaching his gospel is going to get us in prison and even killed. It's already beginning. Even right here in our country. There's been several pastors killed in their churches already in this country. They're trying to shut down a lot of the pastors that was on television and the internet that have been teaching the truth of God's word, and they closed them down. Where they couldn't broadcast no more. Now most of them have gotten back on, but they had to come on a different way in a different place. And how long will they be there now? They don't know. Nor do any of us know. It's like now. We're broadcasting from here this morning. But how long they'll let this last? We don't know. I never know when I'll be turned off and shut down on the internet. And this was his warning. He's letting his disciples know what they were going to be facing in their day and time for following him. But what they really needed to do too. And you and I need the same thing. And we need to be like that story I just shared with you earlier. Our light must shine. And shine to everybody we meet and see. Until we can get the word out. Because you know, the thing about it is, there is still a chance that things can be turned around. But if we continue sitting, keeping our mouths shut, not saying anything, not really sharing with others, it'll never change other than get worse. That's where we're headed. So we back up here now. He started off this first verse. He's telling them, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Regardless of what they do to me, I'm not offended. And they lie on me. Have been for quite a while. Lying, telling lies and stories on me. A lot of them don't want me around. All because I stand on the truth of God's word. But I pray for them. Because you see, when they speak about me, they also happen to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not offended to be known as his child. In fact, that lifts me up and gives me joy. That's what we all, and the way we all should be walking. He goes on to tell them here in verse 2. He says, they shall put you out of the synagogue. What have they been doing to us here in this, in our own land? Been closing our churches. Not letting us go. They're not letting some go. I wouldn't close mine. And I wouldn't quit coming. Been a lot of days I've been here by myself other than just those that would be online with me. You see, but it made God with me. And I'm still reaching out to people. I was here and the church door was open. The only reason nobody else was here is because they wanted to listen to man instead of listening to God. And not sure what. Because for most part, most of them was walking in fear. And you see where there's fear, there's no faith. Because when you have faith in God, then you have no fear of anything this world can throw against you. Nor anything Satan can throw against you. You have no fear of it. Now, he told them, he said, they'll put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you. Now, he's warning his disciples about this, but we have to warn them today about ourselves. We'll think that they doeth God's service. Well, we know a lot of them that right today is trying to destroy us, that they really believe they are doing God's service. Because you see, they don't believe in the one true God. They have their own set up, one they've made up and made into being God instead of worshiping the one true God. But they'll do everything they can do to shut us up, to jail us, and to kill us.
Amen.
There's a lot of them working within our government. Now, verse 3, and these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. And you see, they didn't. They don't know him because they've made up their own. And we have those that are preaching a weak, watered-down gospel because they don't know him either. They know his name, but that's all they know about him because they don't spend time with him. They don't really spend time in his word because they put their trust in the things of this world out here and in themselves. Now, verse 4. He said, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. You see, he's not telling them these things until he's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to take on his death, his resurrection, and go back to heaven. He's getting ready to pay that price that you and I could not pay. And would not have paid. Because you see, all of mankind has a fear of death until you come to that saving knowledge of Jesus. Once you become a child of the living God, you don't fear death anymore. You don't have no more fear of them taking your life. Is it because we all just want to go on? Yeah, because you see, we actually walk with two things in us. We want to go on and be with him, but we know we are needed here. Family and friends and those that Jesus will have you and I to touch, to lead them to salvation, so they can have that eternal life with him. Now, verse 5, he's telling them, but now I go my way, to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? He said, none of you ask me where I'm going. At that time, they hadn't. But he's letting them know. Verse 6. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Because now, you see, they don't yet have that understanding of what is taking place. They just know he's leaving. They don't know where he's going or why. Not yet. Well, it's coming, but not yet. So now they're sorrowful because he told them, I'm going away. But there in verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. He's letting them know, I'm going away for you. And he goes on to tell them, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit there. He's going back to be with the Father. And he will send the Holy Spirit back to you and I. Because he's getting ready to pay that price that we could not and would not have paid. He goes on here in 8, and he says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's what the Holy Spirit brings to you and I. And to all that receive him. He brings those three things. He goes on here with 9, 10, and 11, explaining them three things. Of sin, because they believe not on me. That Holy Spirit's going to convict you. He's going to let you know. You're not living right. You're living in sin because you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. He's letting them know it all. Because you see, when the Holy Spirit comes and he convicts you of that sin, and you go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he has went to be with his Father, now, through him, the Father gives you and I righteousness. He, the Father, is the one making you righteous. The Son, his blood, covered your sin. He forgave you of your sins, and his blood covers you. But it's the Father that gives you the righteousness. And 11, of judgment. Oh, the judgment's coming. But why? Why is he sending judgment on the earth now? Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The prince of this world, Satan, is judged. And we know that he is all evil. He brings nothing but evil. He comes to you and I, comes against us to destroy. And in everything he can. Because he don't want us following the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he has gotten into a lot of the churches, is to keep them away from the Father. He goes on here in 12 and he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I wonder why they wouldn't be able to bear them now. Because you see, they still don't have what they needed. Well, they was his disciples. Sure, they had what they needed. No, they didn't. Not yet. He's still here with them. He was still here on the earth. The church age had not even started yet. His people were, and still even to this day, most of his people are still living by the law or under law. They're not living by it because they've never kept it. Now, 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. You see, the Holy Spirit don't come speaking about himself. He comes speaking about who? The Father and Jesus. He's the one that gives you and I the revelation and the truth of, and the power of God's Word. And he's the one that works through us to give us the power to do what God will call upon each one of us to accomplish. You cannot, I cannot, Dennis cannot, Kenny cannot, preach God's Word in truth and power without the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Because we wouldn't have the understanding of it to be able to preach it right. That's what's happened in a lot of our churches. It's not that they set out to deceive. It's they didn't get what they needed because they wouldn't turn loose of this world in order to receive it. And they've been following a lot of teaching that they should not have been following. Now, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. What he hears from the Father, what the Father tells him, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. You see, this is where we get prophets in the church. It's through the Spirit of Almighty God. He tells them what is to come, what's going to happen, what is coming. And guides us in all truth. And here in 14, he also has something else to do. He shall glorify me. He shall glorify Jesus. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He brings us things from the Father and from the Son and shares them with us. 15. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. You and I are heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have what we have because it was gave to us by the Father. It come through the Lord Jesus Christ, by and brought to us by the Holy Spirit, but it was given from God, the Father. A lot of things at work there. And this is what mankind don't stop to think about and to thank God for. Now, 16. A little while and you shall not see me. And again, a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. A little while they're not going to see him, but then a little while they will see him again. Now he can be talking about two things there. He can be talking when they step out of this life, because the moment they do, they're going to see him again. Because he's one they're going to meet. But he could also be talking about his second coming, especially to you and I today, because it's not as far off as what mankind would like to believe. Mankind's gotten his head, oh, I just got all kinds of time. He ain't coming no way soon. They just don't know. Because they don't know his word. They don't know really how close we are to his coming for the church. And once he comes for the church, it won't be long. He's going to be coming back to this earth and set up that kingdom. Now, 17. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? See, they don't have the understanding yet. Why? He's telling them these things. They're with him. They've been following him. They've been doing some great things. They've been healing the sick and the blind. And yet, they don't have this. Why? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit to give them the understanding. A little while, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and you shall not see me. And again a little while, and you shall see me. And because I go to the Father. And 18, they said therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. We're not understanding him. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of what I said a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? He's asking, why are you asking among yourselves? 20. Verily, verily. Pay attention. That's what that verily, verily means. I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. He's speaking to them there in verse 20 about what he was going to be going through. He's letting them know, you're going to be sorrowful, you're going to lament, you're going to weep, because you're going to see me crucified. He ain't said that there, but that's what he's meaning. That's what he's talking about. Now, he's letting them know that it won't be long after that, though, until their sorrowfulness will turn to joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. He's speaking here in both of those verses about his death, his resurrection, how they will be sorrowful when they see him die. But then once this thing changes, and once they get the Spirit that gives them the understanding and all of what he has said, their sorrow then will turn to joy. Think about it. I'm getting ready to close it out for this morning. And maybe the Lord will let me finish this afternoon through the rest of it. And maybe he'll give us something else. We don't know. But anyway, 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Think about that. He's letting mankind know that because of what he went through, his death, his resurrection, his ascension back to heaven, and sending back to you and I the Holy Spirit, that we can be full of joy. And we can have the knowledge, but also we can have the privilege and the right to go ourselves to the Father. But how many of us really do it? We're not finding too many that really goes to the Father in prayer and really communicate with him to what is in the heart. Oh, they may go to him in a little prayer to ask for this or that, but they don't really go to him with an aching heart because they miss him, because they need more of his word, because they need more of the Holy Spirit in their life. They don't really share those things with him. And it takes those things to give to you and I the life that we need. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for a place and a time, Father, we can come together to share your word and to be together, to support each other, to help each other with whatever is needed that we have, that we can share, Father, whatever it be. We ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. And we ask the Holy Spirit to give us guidance, give us understanding, give us more knowledge of your word and the wisdom to use it, Father. Now, Father, for your saints wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Israel and Jerusalem, Father, we heard just this morning that there has been thousands of rockets hit inside Israel. 13 known dead so far. They did not give how many wounded. But we do know that among the dead was women and children. They need peace, Father. And we are praying for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, Father, for this land of ours that had walked so far away and still continuing, Father, to walk away, help us. Work with us, Father, to remove those from office that is standing against the church, against the Lord Jesus Christ, against your people, and help us to replace them with those that will work for you, Lord, will stand with the church and with Jesus and work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ, to put him back into every place he's been taken out of. And Father, for our prayer list, as each name is mentioned, we pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit touch each one of them to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breed and his wife, Tina, for the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, for Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, for Pastor Luke Bess and the Church of God of Brandenburg, for Pastor Randy Johnson, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, and Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches, fill them with the truth of your word, Father. Make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. These pastors, Father, fill them to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Remove all error from them and all of the wrong teaching, Father, so that nothing but truth comes from them because they are filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. For this young man, Will, Father, my prayer for Will is that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit and he's the minister you want him to be. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, once again, we lift them up. We put them in your hands. You know what the need is there. And that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, we pray for one there. Put one there, Father, that will speak by the Holy Spirit, not by the ways of this world. Not only make it a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my young friend in Pakistan, Father, Pastor Haroon Islam, for Pastor Meshach, and for Pastor Zephyrin, Father, these all, keep them safe. Keep them in health, Father, and see to their needs. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, my family, and for each family that will hear this message this day. Father, work among those families. Have that Holy Spirit there, guiding them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo, Sue, Palance, Casey Smith, Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, for Henry Craycroft. Father, all of these stand in need of a healing touch and a mighty touch of thy hand. May the Holy Spirit touch each one of them, giving them whatever need they have, and bringing them to salvation. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. And God bless. And remember, be with us again this evening, 6 p.m., God willing. We can all be together again and back into the Word of God. So until then, walk with him and he'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.